Hi, Blitz from Overkill. I'm Daria, and very welcome to TrueMetal.it. How are you doing today?
Hey, fantastic here, man. In New Jersey, doing promotion for White Devil Armory.
Okay.
Obviously, after this comes the touring in the early fall, late summer.
Yeah.
So things are good.
Okay, great. And before we go to your upcoming album, White Devil Armory, two words about your career, if we can.
Certainly.
Okay. I'm sure that in these nearly 35 years, you would have a lot to tell. But talking about the New York metal scenes, how do you see they have changed in these years?
Well, see, I don't know if I'm as connected to it as I used to be. I think that when, the band was growing, you constantly have your finger on the pulse.
Yeah.
Whereas more, my pulse now is more on the international scene, with bands that I tour with, et cetera. But
yeah.
I do remember back then as it was a growing metal, punk, hardcore scene, that there was a lot of diversity in it, whether it be a band like Carnivore or Whiplash, Anthrax, Overkill, even some of the rock or metal bands like Twisted Sister. So I think there was a great diversity back then.
Yeah.
With regard to today, again, I'm more in touch with an international scene, whether it be the younger bands from Greece like Suicidal Angels or Darkology or Gamma Bomb from Ireland or Municipal Waste or Havoc, Warbringer. So it's a little bit different, I think. It's not as localized, but more so internationalized.
Yeah, that's true. And I remember that at the beginning you called yourself a power metal band, and that during the period of From the Underground that came out in 97, you stated that you probably would never turn to play pure trash, but here you are. So anything you'd like to say about this?
Well, I think that really what it is that definitions change. When we first had started, we most certainly were a power metal band. Because if you look across the board with regard to our history, right from the beginning, there was huge diversity. A song like Feel the Fire was most certainly not really a thrash song, but more of a power metal song.
Yeah.
A song like In Union We Stand off of the second record. Songs like Skull Crusher. Songs like Horoscope. These were not necessarily thrash songs, but I think definitions change, and I think as the definitions change, the band becomes more so labeled by people. And when I even look at today's records with White Devil Armory, I see a huge diversity. I of course see thrash in there, but I see power metal, I see rock and roll, I hear punk rock, I hear a lot of different things.
Yes,
so I think that it's more about a label. And I can't say that that statement in 97 was correct, because obviously, to a very large degree, we are a thrash band.
And now, let's talk about your upcoming 17th studio album, White Devil Armory. By the way, it comes out right for my birthday on July 18th, so it's the perfect timing, I'd say. Anyhow, I'd like to hear the album introduction with your very own words. So how would you describe it?
Well, the first thing we did was we found out when your birthday was, and then we decided to release it on that day.
great.
And what more can I say after that?
that's good. Fair enough. Very good reason. So that means that also next year you will have another album for July 18th. Great.
You only get one in a lifetime.
Yes, sure.
I've never had an Overkill album released on my birthday, so maybe I should do that next time. But I think that one of the things that we see on this record, with regards to just an introduction or a generalization of it, is a culmination of our history with a present day presentation. I think that these White Devil Armory is valid in the current day. That it's really more about today than it was about yesterday. But for sure, we don't forget where we've come from. We've taken, as we talked in the earlier question about us, never playing thrash. Well, we obviously are a thrash band.
Yeah.
And thrash is kind of the first characteristic of the record with a song like Armored. But there's also punk rock influences in Pig. There's also the new wave of British heavy metal in the name. There's breakdowns like Bitter Pills with a half speed. So I think that White Devil Armory could change the characteristics or all the characteristics that make up Overkill as, let's say, a heavy metal band.
Yeah, in fact, because in these past 2 days, while listening to the album, the first thing I noticed was the different sound and production. And in my opinion, it could be compared to a more modern version of the album WFO that came out in 94. Do you agree?
Not necessarily so. I do think people's opinions are valid to what they feel about it. I think it's really, what I hear with this record is that there is a good, healthy metal scene out there, and especially for that of Thrash, that if value is not a disposable value, but something that seems to remain and remain constant. So that healthy scene, I think, of White Devil Armor is a reflection of that.
Yeah.
And my feeling is that over the last, four records or so, since we've had Ron Lipnicki in the band, we've had that understanding of that healthy scene. And I think that this is more of a reflection of the current day, let's say, than the historical past with WFO, or even a modern version of it. I would consider it more a modern version of, you know, a record like Horoscope, that type of a presentation.
Okay. And what can you tell me about the songwriting process and the topics you are handling in this album?
Well, the songwriting process is if it's not broken, don't fix it. It starts with Dee Dee Verney. He continuously writes. He's not the type of person who lets an idea go by.
Mm-hmm.
And he collects these ideas over that course of the release of the Electric Age, which was the prior record, until the finishing of White Devil Armory. So he's collecting riffs, he's structuring songs, he's bouncing those songs off of Dave Lynch, off of Ron, off of me. So they're starting to develop, and they develop over time, and then demos happen. And then after the demos, the songs go through a whole other development period, where Dave starts adding things. Dave is instrumental in the songwriting process because he's a real good gauge for objectivity and can add different bridges, different changes, very musical, can pick a harmony out of the air, doesn't have to find it, he can just sing it, for instance. So when it goes through all this process, it finally comes to me, and if you liken it to building a house, what I do is I put the roof on the house with regard to finishing it.
Yeah.
When it comes to topics, I write lyrics emotionally based, but I always look for a thread. I look for something that I can drag from song to song. And in this case, we were using as our thread the word armory.
Yes.
And it just seemed right because Dee Dee was writing songs with that in mind. So I took it. We added some words back and forth. We come up with White Devil Armory. It becomes a thread for me to start writing. So what I did topic-wise was take those emotions and turn them into short stories and drag it from one song to the next, whether it be anger, whether it be pride, whether it be sloth, whether it be fear, all these emotions. And I made it a story where the armorist at the beginning of the record is singular. And when he gets to the end of the record, he is part of the group and recognizes strength within that group or that unified field. So it's not a concept, but for sure, different emotions that are linked together as the armorist travels through the record.
Yeah, sort of all the colors of life.
Pretty much. And I think it's kind of cool to express that because I think it's common to everyone. It's just taken in this record from an abstract point of view. So it's not necessarily foreign to you, foreign to another listener who likes Overkill. And I think that at the end of the day, you have to have your own meaning for the lyrics, not just the writer's meaning, but how it affects you.
Yeah, that's true. And then there is also the part of where the listener comes in, having all his or her situations of life, so maybe he or she will understand the album differently.
I agree with that, but you know, I do think that understanding differently is fine, but I also think that many, you know, people, especially ones who like this type of music or who are into overkill, I think we're much the same. I think the writers and the listeners are much the same. So I think that that becomes kind of a commonality for our understanding of each other.
Yeah, that's true. And it seems that you have found a new lifeblood and inspiration after signing the deal with Nuclear Blast. Three amazing records in 4 years. What is your secret?
Well, I think it's a very healthy scene right now. I think we're just a reflection of that scene. We have a good chemistry within the band. I mean, the guys like to perform. We like to write. We like to tour. I think the addition of Ron McNicky over the last four records has been huge for us. I think he understood Overkill and learned Overkill by touring. And so then when he started recording with us, I think it was just a natural transition that he already understood what we needed to do or what he needed to add to it. And I think he added, a certain youthful energy that is reflective of that scene. So I think that what we are is exploiting something that's great. And it's good to have Nuclear Blast, on your team because they're fans of this music.
Yeah.
It's not, when you have support from your record label or actually fans of this kind of stuff, you're in a very, very good situation with regard to getting it to the right places and having the highest results possible.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yes. So about the album cover art is to me it's quite classic. I mean there is your logo and the bat and the skull. But let's talk about the colors. Sort of antique grey with greenish shades. I find the cover art very pleasant to the eyes. What else can you tell me? And what is the meaning of the three stars between the bat's wings?
Oh, but you're going too far in depth here because, you know, what looks cool and appears cool is the way the presentation was thought of. It was never thought of in so much depth with regard to what do the three stars mean. It was never thought in so much depth as antiques and shades of green. It just developed as it came along.
Yeah.
We worked with an artist named Travis Smith. He's been doing artwork for us since the Necroshine record and doing a great job and progresses all the time. You can see, working with Travis, we can see that each cover becomes better and better or more, unto itself.
Yeah,
and I do agree that it's a classic feel, and we were looking for kind of strength in the cover, something that was immovable, like, in a movable building, in a movable object, something that had history yet still has value in the present day. So that's about as deep as we go. The three stars mean nothing except they look right. The shades of green are ours. The stone antique feel was, let's say, that heavy, immovable object.
So the three stars are there only because they fit it into the picture, so there is no meaning of them.
No, absolutely not.
Okay,
no.
Okay. But I'm curious. I had to ask, you know.
I can tell that.
Yeah. Listen, the album was tracked at Kier Recording at mixed by Greg Reilly, who has worked also for the Electric Age. Anything special that you would like to tell about this cooperation this time?
Well, the idea about going twice is that, the second time around, the guy has a better feel for the band.
Yeah.
The band has a better feel for the guys mixing the record. I think your expectations of each other are understood before going into it the second time around. So with expectations understood, you're going to get better results.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
I think we, at Gear we track better this time. We track tighter, which is a huge difference for the guys mixing. We started off with better tones with regard to production. Our tones were 2 years better than the Electric Age. They've moved on, they've progressed with regard to technology, some switching of equipment, some mixing and matching of stuff that we found on the road that made guitar tones and drum tones a little bit more better. Yeah, we mixed in, we wanted to mix in some organic drum sounds and not just have a computerized sound to it.
Yeah.
When we handed all this stuff to Greg, our expectations are he's going to have a better, heavier mix because of the understanding of us.
Yeah,
so the idea was just, yeah, you know, the idea was just simple. The cooperation is better the second time because now you have experience with
it. Yeah, and then you don't have to lose time to get know each other. I mean, you have already the base that say, hey, let's go on and do it good as last time. So it's good, good way to do it.
That's a great point because there's less time wasted with
yeah.
understanding it.
Yeah.
More time working on it toward a better result.
Yep. And just 2 weeks ago, you shot two videos with esteemed director Kevin J. Custer. It's not the first time you work with him. So what can you tell me about these videos and when they will be out?
Well, I just got the first cut for the song Armorous. Armorous
yep.
is live performance. Warehouse footage. One of the unique things is we did it with primarily with daylight coming in through the warehouse windows, which is something I think is a little bit unusual for a metal video. But Kevin has a great eye for turning that light into something kind of mysterious. So it's a performance straight ahead video, and so far so good. It was approved on the first cut with just minimal changes. The second one is Bitter Pill, and Bitter Pill will have a storyline to it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything but the performance footage in that, so it's performance and storyline. Excited to see what Kevin can do. Our relationship is, we met Kevin through our label E1. They suggested him as the video producer for actually as far back as, Bring Me the Night. And prior to that, I had met him and did a song of Immortalis with him. Just he and I did a video with Randy Blythe from Lamb of God for Skull and Bones. So when we finally got a chance to work with him fully, we realized that he was willing to work with us. It wasn't artist against artist. It was Kevin wanted to make us happy with this video. And I think that's why we continue to work with him, is that you know, his work ethic is tireless.
Okay.
And beyond being tireless, his primary goal is to have the band represented as the band wants to be.
Yeah.
So I think with his eye and that principle, it becomes a really good meeting.
And I'm looking forward to see these videos. Any idea when they will come out?
I think the first one comes out on the 28th of this month.
Okay.
In June, yeah.
Okay, great. I'm looking forward. And now to your upcoming shows and tours. You recently announced the tours show days in Europe. And by the way, in your Italian date, which is 4th November, I will be there as well. So maybe we'll have another chat then. But what can you tell me about the shows and the set list and everything that you will offer to your fans?
You know, I mean, touring is what it's about for me personally. I just enjoy being on the road. I enjoy being on the stage. You know, I've always been very proud of the fact that Overkill has been able to present itself at a really high level, regardless of what era we're in for this band, whether it be the present day or whether it be, you know, 25 years ago. It's been a high-level presentation.
Yeah.
So I think that what we're going to do is business as usual. With regard to the set list, it's always more exciting for us to play the newer songs than to be able to play stuff from Ironbound or the Electric Cage or White Devil Armory, which I see at least three, four songs that will be in the set list from the new record because of that excitement factor for the band. From there, we always will throw some classic songs in and then try to do one, two, three, four obscure songs, things that we haven't done live in forever or maybe never.
Great.
So I think that's what makes it interesting for us. It's high level of presentation and a mixed bag from the entire career of the band, leaning toward the newer stuff.
Sounds great. And next year will be your 35th anniversary. Any plans so far?
You know, it's funny, everyone tells me it's going to be our 35th anniversary. I keep thinking to myself, no. I know Aditi since 1981.
Yeah.
And you know, the band wasn't signed and released until 1985. So I never really think of it in terms of just from when we had met, but it's, you know, I suppose it's a really positive accomplishment, but I don't think in terms of a celebratory. I think more in terms of a celebration is about the present day.
Yeah.
And if we're, you know, this is what's kept us relevant, not about being who we were, but about being who we are at the moment. And I think that that's what, you know, because we don't plan those things, I think that's where we're going to stay, because that philosophy has always worked for us.
And maybe this new album for your birthday. Yeah, we'll see. Listen, please. Now a personal and hypothetical question, let's say, off records. I mean, if there were not be Overkill, in which band you would like to sing? Free choice.
My.
Whatever band.
I would love to be able to sing in Judas Priest, but I don't know if I have the talent.
Yeah, but you know, when it's a hypothetical, every choice is free. I mean, alternatives is free. So you're saying that you would like to sing with Judas Priest?
So it's like a fantasy.
Yeah, but why not?
Okay.
We will see.
Right,
we will see. Jamming together or something next year. You never know.
I'd like to sing in Judas Priest, but I'd also like to have sing in Motorhead.
Okay.
So maybe we could do like a co-headline.
Yes, that sounds great. So I'm looking forward to that announcement. listen, please. I know that our time is running out, so now it's got to be the last question. It's okay. My right and tradition, and I ask you, how would you like to close this our chat? The word is yours.
Hey, I look forward to the White Devil Rumble tours through Europe. I look forward to being back in Italia. Grazie.
Prego.
We'll see you in November.
Yes, we will see you in November in Milan. And I thank you very much, Blitz. It was my pleasure, and I wish you all the best for this summer and for this release. And have cheers for me also for my birthday on July 18th. Okay.
My pleasure. Happy birthday, Daria.
Thank you very much, Blitz, and all the best, and take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Bye-bye. Bye.